Morning. Let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 9, verse 18 through 26. Luke chapter 9, verse 18 through 26. And it happened that while he was praying alone, the disciples were with him, and he questioned them, saying, "Who do the people say that I am?" They answered and said, "John the Baptist, and others say Elijah, but others that one of the prophets of old has risen again." And he said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" And Peter answered and said, "The Christ of God." But he warned them and instructed them not to tell this to anyone, saying, "The Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed and raised up on the third day." And he was saying to them all, "If anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake, he is the one who will save it. For what is a man profited if he gains the whole world and loses or forfeits himself? For whoever is ashamed of me and my words, the Son of Man will be ashamed of him when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of the holy angels." Let's pray together. God, we thank you for this time. Thank you for giving us this opportunity to come before you and just to pray to you, God, and to read your word and listen to your word. And I pray just for your spirit to come and be here in this place. Help us to connect with you, God, and to hear from you. And I give myself to you that you will use me to speak your word. And yeah, we want to meet with you today. God, we want to get to know you better. Thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So, we have an image of Jesus. When we think about Jesus Christ, I think often what many people have a picture of Jesus, we picture him as this entirely approachable and gentle and kind kind of a person, you know? Jesus, we think of Jesus and we go, oh, we get the warm, fuzzy feelings inside because we think, yeah, he's just going to accept us. He's going to love us. He's going to be so kind and so gentle with us, and he's meek. And that's the image that we have of Jesus. And sometimes, I mean, that's true in a way, right? He is very approachable. We've experienced it. He is very kind. He says himself that he is gentle and that he gives us rest. And so we forget that Jesus also makes us uncomfortable. I think if we were to go up to Jesus now, and if you, I mean, yes, he is so loving and he is so good, and we would feel so, I don't know, happy and joyful to be in his presence. But also, Jesus would make us feel very uncomfortable. He's not out there just to make us feel good about ourselves. You know, he challenges people and he demands from people, you know, and he makes you feel very uncomfortable. And take today's passage, for example. So Jesus is praying and he asks the disciples, "Who do the people say I am? And who do you say I am?" And this is, "You're the Messiah." And then he says, he basically tells them that I'm gonna die. The Son of Man must suffer many things and he's gonna die, but he's gonna be raised again. And as he's talking about death, I can imagine the disciples looking at him like, "What are you talking about? Why are you talking about death? And what's going on?" And they have this puzzled look and they're looking at Jesus, and Jesus sees their puzzled look and he says, "You're going to have to do the same, you know? You're going to have to come and die. You're going to have to deny yourself, take up this cross," which was really an instrument of death, And then you're going to have to follow me. So I can just imagine they're very uncomfortable. They're like, what? What are you talking about, Jesus? Why are you talking about this death and denying yourself, taking up this cross? And I can see them really shifty, you know, nervous, looking around. And this whole idea of, I don't know if you've heard this phrase before, comfort the afflicted and afflict the comforted. Right? Jesus does that all the time, right? He would come, and if somebody is afflicted, and if that person is in pain, is in suffering, is in shame because of his or her sin, he brings comfort. He comforts the afflicted. But to the comforted, he brings affliction. He will say to them very straight up, what you're doing is not right. And you need to be willing to die after, you know, follow after me to the point of death, deny yourself, take up the cross. He would really afflict the comforted. And I want us to remember that, you know, as Christians, when we think about Jesus and when we spend time with him and things like that, let's not forget that Jesus often makes his followers very, very uncomfortable. And he's very demanding. My uncle, I have an uncle, he's a man of God. He's so my dad's brother, my dad's older brother. And you know, my dad's a pastor, he's a missionary. And I remember as a kid, we used to always ask him, I don't know why, but it was so silly. We used to always ask him, hey, dad, who's more spiritual, you or your older brother? And he would always say, his older brother, my uncle, is more spiritual, more godly, more the man of God. And we would always be like, no way. You know, you're the pastor. Because my uncle is an architect. You know, he's in the marketplace kind of thing. Anyway, he's really a man of God. He's been through a lot. And he's kind of been a father to my dad because my dad didn't have a father growing up. So one of the things that my uncle said to me that's always stuck with me was randomly, he just told me, like he said, when you go to God, Nate, you don't have to be so ashamed and so, you don't have to feel so small. You don't have to feel so scared. You can just be confident when you go before God. And he said, because it's like this, think of the nicest person you know. Think of the greatest gentlest, you know, most gentle, kindest, nicest person you know. And when you approach someone like that, you're not going to be ashamed. You're not going to be scared. You're not going to be afraid to enter into his presence. You're just going to be yourself. And God is even more, you know, he's even more nicer and kinder and gentle than this person could ever be. So, I mean, just think of that, and then when you go to God, just be confident. You don't have to be so worried and so scared. And it's true, right? And I always think, I'm one of those guys. I'm one of those guys. And PSM said that in his sermon. I'm a meek, nice person. And I think, yeah, if anyone's nice and meek and gentle and kind, I'm like, that's me, you know? And if I were to go to myself, like, if I imagine people coming up to me, kids coming up to me, and then I think, how much more is God going to be like that to me when I approach him? I'm like, yeah, that's true. And I gain a lot of confidence from this, and I gain a lot of comfort from the fact that, yeah, this is true. This is how Jesus is to us. When we approach him, we can approach him with confidence. We don't have to be so scared and so timid because he is so loving and so kind and so gentle and so accepting. But at church, we've talked about this radical middle, right? This radical middle. And I think if we just go to that side of Jesus and we only talk about Jesus, he accepts us and he loves us and he's kind and he's gentle and he's you know, encouraging and all that stuff. And that's really true. It's true and it's good and it's right. But we have to also go to the other side, because when you read through the Gospels, man, Jesus is not just comforting and reassuring and encouraging. He is all that, but also he speaks truth. You know, he is, Jesus says he is truth, and he says the truth will set you free, and he will speak truth very directly. And sometimes truth is very uncomfortable for us to hear, and he's very demanding. He's not this reasonable kind of a guy. Man, the followers of Jesus, basically Jesus is saying, man, you gotta hate your father and mother. You gotta hate your own life if you're gonna come and follow me. And you better, you know, deny yourself. You gotta sell all that you have and come after me. That's the kind of Jesus that he is, you know? So we have to walk in this radical middle of, yes, Jesus, his love and his mercy and his grace is amazing. And he is so approachable that we don't have to be timid when we go to him. But also at the same time, Jesus is demanding. He makes you feel so uncomfortable. And he will pull you from your place of wanting comfort and convenience. And he will challenge us and say, that is not what this life is about. You think that if you had convenience and comfort and material things, your life is going to be happy and fulfilled. But Jesus says, no, whoever loses their life for my sake is actually going to find life. If you try to seek after all of that, you're never going to get it. So that's something that I'm learning, you know, and I'm learning that I must do this as a pastor, especially as a youth pastor. You know, when I first started, I think that was probably my biggest mistake. We had some kids come to our church, and they weren't church kids, and they were somehow, I don't even know how the connection was made. They started coming to our church, and they came for about 2-3 years. When they were younger, they were very good, but as they got to high school, they got really busy with school, and they stopped coming as much, and I was just very gracious, you know? I was just very like, that's okay. Yeah, school is important, and we love you, and blah, blah, blah. But I didn't really speak this truth, you know? I didn't really demand from them. I was too focused on being what I thought was reasonable. I didn't want to offend them by saying what they were doing was not right. And I think I lost them. I think I lost these kids because I opted for this and I only did this. I wasn't walking the radical middle. I didn't tell them that, no, following Jesus is very demanding. It's not about convenience, you know, and I failed to kind of make them uncomfortable. I failed to afflict the comforted, basically, and I think I've lost them. So it's something that I'm learning to do as a pastor. And so here's three things I just want to encourage us to do in regards to this topic. Number one, and I think I might be preaching to the choir. If you're coming to EMP, you're probably all okay with this, but hopefully someone's listening to the recording, or you can encourage someone to do this. Let's not get offended when we're challenged by a speaker. Let's not get offended if the pastor or if a speaker comes and he gives a challenging message and it's not something you're comfortable with. Let's not get so offended and so prideful about it, like, don't tell me what to do. You know, so many people are like, who do you think you are? Don't tell me what to do. Don't tell me that I'm living my life wrong, or I've got this wrong, or I missed that. Let's not get offended. I think it's so sad, you know, just some people are like that. Some people get so offended when someone brings a challenging message. They're like, you know, don't talk to me like that. Who do you think you are? Do you know who I am? But, you know, Jesus offended a lot of people, right? Jesus, when he was on earth, he offended people left and right. And he says, blessed are those that are not offended, that don't stumble over my words. They're not offended by what I say, what I do. I want to read a quick passage in John chapter 8, verse 1 through 11. You can turn there, or you can just listen. Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. Early in the morning, he came again into the temple. All the people were coming to him, and he sat down and began to teach them. The scribes and the Pharisees brought a woman caught in adultery, and having set her in the center of the court, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman has been caught in adultery in the very act. Now in the law of Moses, Moses commanded us to stone such women. What then do you say?" They were saying this, testing him, so that they might have grounds for accusing him. But Jesus stooped down and with his finger wrote on the ground. But when they persisted in asking him, he straightened up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him be the first to throw a stone at her." Again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. When they heard it, they began to go out, one by one, beginning with the elder ones. And he was left alone and the woman, and where she was, in the center of the court. Straightening up, Jesus said to her, "Woman, where are they? Did no one condemn you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said, "I do not condemn you either. Go, from now on, sin no more." Simple story, we all know this. But I find that in the church, with some people, the message that they will always want to hear is, "Neither do I condemn you." You know, people just want to hear that, like, "Yeah, I'm not condemned. I'm okay. I can do whatever I want to do, and I can be just in my comfort place and convenient place, and that's okay. Don't tell me what to do. Just tell me, neither do I condemn you." That's what I want to hear. But that the message can't always be, "Neither do I condemn you." Sometimes the message has to be, "From now on, sin no more." Right? From now on, don't do the same thing again. And sometimes the message has to be that. The message has to be the truth. It can't always be, "Neither do I condemn you. Ah, you feel good. You're accepted. You're loved. Jesus is kind." That's true. But at the same time, he says, don't sin anymore. Don't live in the crap that you're doing. Don't stay in that place. Come out of there. And I think it's so important. Sometimes the message is, go, sell all that you have and follow me. And Jesus is not saying it just to be a jerk, you know, or a mean person. He's saying this because that's the truth. And he's saying, if you stop doing this, and if you sold everything you have and you followed me, then you will have life. You will have something that is so much greater, and yet we get so offended at that, and we say, just tell me, don't, you know, that I'm not condemned and I'm loved. And so, encouragement to you and to our listeners through the recording, don't get offended. Let's not get offended when we're challenged by another speaker. Let's just allow the Holy Spirit to speak to us. Let's not get caught up in this pride. But anyway, before we get to this place of not getting offended, I think it is very important. So the second point is, first, we must experience this grace and goodness and kindness of Jesus. We must first experience this, "Neither do I condemn you," this side of Jesus, this kindness of Jesus. Because without experiencing this, I think that we get caught up in religion, you know? We get caught up in this thing that is not life-giving, that is just heavy and burdensome. And that's probably, you know, many of us that grew up in church, that might be our church experience. You know, then it was for me, the same thing. I grew up in church, never really having experienced the love of God, but always getting the demand, you know, like, you got to do this and you got to do that. And it wasn't life-giving, it was just heavy, you know, and it was like you always felt like you weren't good enough, and so from that place, once you meet the Jesus that says, "Man, I accept you, I love you, I am for you, not against you, just as you are, come into my kingdom, you are mine and I am yours." When you hear that, that's like, oh, so freeing and so life-giving. And I think we have to first experience this, you know. We have to first experience this Jesus that accepts us, that loves us, that shows no condemnation. Because without that, and if we just focus on the demanding, the challenging Jesus, I think then it's also, again, then it's burdensome and it's heavy and it's not, the Christian life is not joy, it's just work. So it's this idea of radical middle. But first, I think we need to experience this hope that comes from Jesus, the life of Jesus, the healing. I mean, if you read through the gospel, Jesus is bringing healing to people, hope to people, life to people. We have to experience that first. You know, this experience this Jesus that is so attractive, just so good. And once we experience that, then I think we can go to the Holy Spirit and ask Him, you know, is there something that we're missing, you know? After we know who He is and we understand that we're loved and we're accepted and that Christ is with us and He is mine and I am His, then I think the third thing, which is what I want to ask us to do, is we could go to the Holy Spirit and we can ask Him, hey, Jesus, is there anything that we have missed, you know? I want us to think about it, and I was thinking about it today too. Is there anything that Jesus is saying in your relationship with Jesus, is there anything that He's saying that's making you uncomfortable or inconvenient? Is there anything that's making you feel challenged? Because I think if there is nothing that's making us feel challenged, that's making us feel uncomfortable when we're in this relationship with Jesus, maybe we're missing something. You know, maybe we're missing something if we think we're like in this intimate relationship with Jesus, but we never have this challenge and we don't have any uncomfortable feeling of recognizing that we're missing something or you know, we feel like He's challenging us to something inconvenient or uncomfortable. Maybe we're missing something. Because take today's passage, for example. He says, you must deny yourself, take up the cross and follow me. That's uncomfortable. That is very challenging. I mean, how do we even live that out in our life? But so often I think we're living in this delusion, you know, of we're doing everything okay. You know, everything's fine. But I want us to consider, you know, that it is entirely possible that right now we might be missing something. It is possible. This is a possibility that right now, the way we're living our lives, we might be missing something that Jesus is challenging us to do. And let's not be so quick to delude ourselves, deceive ourselves into thinking, nah, I'm okay. I'm doing everything that I need to be doing and I'm doing fine. You know, so in one sense, yes, because yes, you're accepted, you're loved. But on the other sense, I mean, Jesus speaks truth and he says, you got to deny yourself, take up the cross and follow me. And so then, yeah, maybe we're not doing that really very well and we need to feel that discomfort when we come into His presence. And the good news is that that's okay. You know, even if we are missing something in following Him and living after God, that's okay because we're accepted. There is grace, there's forgiveness. You know, there is kindness of Jesus. So let's come to this place of, you know, being able to say, yeah, maybe I'm missing something. Maybe I'm weak. Maybe I'm weak at this and I'm not doing this right. And yeah, maybe God is saying this and I haven't done it the way I need to. But it's okay. We can admit this because we know that there is forgiveness. If there was no forgiveness, then we would be so uncomfortable admitting this because then we feel like we have to somehow prove ourselves right. But if we know that there is forgiveness, if we know the gospel, then we can just admit and say, oh, I messed up. Because we know that, yeah, we're going to be forgiven and accepted again. And then we can get on with it, you know, to try and be like Christ again. So, I mean, just one quick example. I was house hunting and everything was going wrong. House hunting was so difficult, such a pain in the neck, you know. We're just like struggling. And nothing worked out. And then I think it was last Friday. Nothing was working out. And one good brother of mine comes up to me, and he's just very gentle about it. He said, "Hey, I just want to ask you. Just, whatever, I just want to ask you. Are you guys tithing properly?" You know, because he's, you know, he was like, "I don't know why the blessings just seems to have stopped flowing. Like something's blocked. Are you guys tithing properly?" And when I first heard it, I must admit to you that part of me was offended. I was like, "What? Who do you think you are, man? Don't tell me what to do. Like, of course I'm tithing properly. What are you talking about?" But, I mean, praise God. And I was able to, I mean, I don't think I showed it in any way. I don't think he knew that I was offended. But I was like, okay, thanks. In my heart, I'm like, "What do you think you are?" But I thought about it and I prayed about it. And then I talked to my fiance about it. And we actually discovered that we were missing some things. I mean, we thought we were doing okay. We thought we had gotten everything right. But we recognized and we realized that we were missing something here in this area. And actually, that night, we decided we're going to make up for everything that we've missed. It's a large chunk of money, and we're trying to save money. So it's not easy, but we're like, yeah, let's just do it. I mean, God is so generous, and he's been so gracious to us, and he's blessed us so much. So let's just do it. We can never outgive God. So we're going to make up for what we didn't realize we were missing. So we decide to do that. And then, I don't know, but that the next day, Saturday, we found a place, signed with them. They gave us a great deal, and everything worked out. So I'm crazy. But and all that to say, I mean, yeah, sometimes you're missing stuff. Sometimes in your life, you are missing stuff. And we miss stuff all the time. So let's not be so prideful. And when somebody challenges you, when a speaker challenges you, or when Jesus challenges you, as you're spending time with him, don't be so, like, quick to try and justify yourself or be offended, but say, yeah, I've missed something and I need to get right with God. And let's not forget that Jesus makes us uncomfortable. Let's not get deceived into thinking that if somebody challenges you, that they're doing something wrong. I mean, that's exactly what Jesus does. He makes you feel very uncomfortable, and he demands a lot from you. And he's not very reasonable. Like, if you were, you can't reason with Jesus, you know? He's Lord of all, right? Lord of heaven and earth. You can't reason with someone like that and say, "Well, geez," you know, Pastor Brian said that, right? I think, and he says, you got it wrong when you started thinking, when you started reasoning. So let's remember that, and Jeff is going to lead us in time of worship. So let's just go before the Lord and invite him to come and speak to us. So, Lord, I thank you. I thank you, Lord Jesus, just for the Gospels and just the amazing stories we read about Jesus and the things that he says to us. And I pray for myself, God, and for all of us here. And Jesus, would you speak to us today? And speak to us in our lives, God. And if we are missing something, you know, I mean, most likely we are missing something, God. I mean, you know, most likely there are things that we need to continue to work on and continue to surrender before you. And, you know, I pray, Lord Jesus, that first we would really hear your voice of love and grace and kindness and forgiveness, God. That we would hear that, but that we would also hear the truth. Or not the truth. I mean, that's the other side is also truth. But that we would also hear, you know, your challenge to us, God. And your demand. Because, you know, those things also actually lead us into freedom, you know? Those things that you speak to us about, that you challenge us with, that makes us feel uncomfortable, that gets us out of our comfortable place. Those things, you say that exactly because that's the thing that's hindering us from living in freedom. So I pray that we would be able to hear those things today as well, God. And if there are things that you need to pinpoint in our hearts, God, you know, we give you freedom to do that and permission to do that. You know, not that you need it, but God, we want to open ourselves up to you in that way. So, yeah, thank you, Holy Spirit. Lead us into your presence, God.
Have saved me. It is written, Christ is risen. Jesus, you are Lord of all.
Thank you, Lord. Continue to speak to us today, God. Thank you. Let's go to our group prayer focus. Let's lift up our community and those struggling with cancer, going through chemo and waiting for the transplant. Let's just pray and lift them up. Let's pray for God's healing and to come upon them. And let's pray with faith and pray with perseverance. And let's fervently pray for our friends here on this list. Let's pray together. Go to the second slide. Let's pray for those that are really ill and struggling with physical illness, but also in need of salvation. And let's pray that just God's mercy will be revealed in their hearts. And let's pray for people to really come, divine appointments and anointed people that would share the gospel with them. So let's lift them up. Let's also pray, I know that Pastor Sam wants to add another slide, just for people that we are witnessing to currently. So if you want to take a little bit of time, just pray for the people that you're witnessing to, that you're actively witnessing to, and really praying for salvation, you know. So spend a little bit of time for that as well, if you want to pray for those that you're witnessing to, that God would really move in a powerful way. Go to the third slide. Let's pray for just various infirmities that our church members are going through. Let's pray for healing to come. Let's pray for God's strength in this time and encouragement in this time. And some of them are going through very serious illnesses. So let's really pray with faith and fervent. And let's pray with fervency for these friends. So let's pray together. Thank you. Let's go to the fourth slide. Let's pray for our friends looking for a job. Let's pray for favor. Let's pray for breakthrough. And whatever God is doing in this time, let's pray that our friends will be able to really hear from the Lord in this time, and that God will move. Let's pray together. Go to our Wednesday prayer focus. Let's pray for Cambodia. Pray for Grace and Ashley and Bloom. Let's pray for Holy Spirit to really move in that place. Pray for Ruth. She's the director. Let's pray for Pastor O. Let's pray for his mission kind of organization called Vision to Reality, his project there, and also Pastor Tang, the pastor of New Life Church. And let's really pray for Cambodia. Let's pray for the nation to be lifted up. And let's pray for, you know, everything, you know, stability, economic growth, and also just the Spirit of God to move in that place. Let's lift up Cambodia. Pray for our board of directors, or elder board at our church. And they're really the ones really praying and making some important decisions for the church. Let's pray that they would be able to really hear from God, really be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But let's also pray for their personal lives, that their lives will be filled with joy and the goodness of God, and that they will be so intimate with the Lord. Pray for their family life as well. So let's really cover our board, and let's pray for God's blessing and favor upon them. Let's pray for men and women's ministries. Let's pray for God's blessing over them and God's continued leadership and guidance, so that our church would be really be able to be united and have accountability and, you know, support each other. So let's really pray for men and women's ministries. Let's pray for SB 2.0. Let's pray for a new building. Let's pray for a donor, possible donor. And let's also pray for just God's plans for SP, and, you know, adding another service, you know. And let's just pray for God's direction and God's guidance in this whole area. And, you know, I think God's given us, you know, word that, that we are to continue to grow, that this isn't the final place, you know. So let's obey, you know, obey God, and let's pray for a new place. Let's pray that our church will be ready for the next move. And let's pray that God will provide. So let's continue to pray for this. Let's pray for the house churches meeting tonight. Let's pray for a powerful time of ministry and sharing and love. Let's pray for all the leaders and pray that it'll be an amazing time. Let's pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you for this time. We thank you for your love, and we thank you for your grace in our lives, and we thank you for just your word, the Bible, God, that we get to just read it and learn about you and hear your truth. And as we go about our day today, I pray that you would continue to you know, help us to feel your presence and help us to just be reminded of the truth in your words, and may we bring a joy to your heart today. Thank you that you are walking with us. We thank you for your blessing in our lives, and we love you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Bless you guys. Have a great day today.